Interestingly, science is offering us a completely different view than that one forecast by Malthus of a world with its gloomy projections where animals will have to struggle for their survival. This actually is not scientifically true. Seeing the world from a strictly materialist, linear point of view, Malthus was blind to the dynamical complexities inherent within the web of life and of nature's tendencies toward balance and homeostasis. Furthermore, animal populations simply do not double every year, and their rate of increase is a total variable based upon the prevailing environmental conditions. So Malthus's linear mathematical conclusions, currently defined as a static projection, would only be reasonable in a linear mechanistic Newtonian universe. Fortunately, the universe we live in is a probability-based quantum reality that is profoundly affected by chaos, where static projections are useless in that they fail to factor in the dynamic and unpredictable processes of living systems. The whole Malthusian notion of evolution being driven by an internal struggle for existence and brutal competition of the fittest, battling it out to survive, a story replete with images of bloody claws, actually has no scientific merit. Rather than the survival of the fittest, the new science, it really emphasizes the thrival of the fittingest. The new rules of quantum science apply to the theory of evolution as well. Consequently, when we look at current scientific studies that emphasize that evolution occurs in the context of an environment, not separate from it. Consequently, the progress of evolution can be seen as an environment constantly seeking to rebalance itself. In fact, in 1998, a very important article in the journal Nature by Timothy Letton provides an important support for another theory about the planet, a theory called Gaia, a theory by James Lovelock that suggests that the Earth and the biosphere collectively represent a living entity that is evolving and regulating its own complex metabolism. Lenton describes how the sun is warmed 25% since the Earth began, some 3.8 billion years ago, and yet the Earth has somehow been able to regulate its climate and buffer that huge temperature differential, because the Earth is a living system and can adjust and modify for variations in the environment. Lenton, in his article, suggests that evolutionary traits that benefit the system as a whole tend to be reinforced by nature. Well, those traits that alter or destabilize the environment in an unfavorable way are restrained by nature. So Lenton concludes, if an organism acquires a mutation that causes it to behave in an anti-Gaian manner, meaning it threatens or challenges the environment, that alteration or mutation spread will be restricted and that it will be at an evolutionary disadvantage. Lenton is suggesting that if we humans don't find ways to evolve that are more harmonious with the planet, we may find ourselves homeless. What we have failed to realize is that the real evolutionary principle is the thrival of the fittingest, those organisms that best fit the environment by contributing and supporting global harmony get to thrive. And this is a lesson that we have to learn now, because in failing that lesson, we are precipitating the crises that are challenging our own survival. So the new science is offering us a way out, but we must let go of the old story and entertain the new view.
Imagine what it would be like to begin to live into this new world that already exists. And part of that is recognizing the things that, once again, just like the dogs that know when their owners are coming home, that we somehow forget that somehow they have to communicate. There's also plenty of evidence that we have in our world that cooperation is actually part of nature. It's as natural as competition. Those people who are familiar with the bonobo chimps, these are the a breed of chimpanzee who, unlike most breeds of chimpanzee, this is a breed that's generally peaceful. And in instances when there is a potential for conflict, that is when two chimps want the same thing, instead of fighting, they make love. They have some kind of sexual ritual. They interact with one another, doesn't matter, male, female, whatever. They reduce their tension through sexual activity, and they are able to be peaceful. Now, in the study of the bonobo chimps, a couple of things have been revealed. First of all, in this particular breed, it's not what you would call a matriarchy, but yet the women are as strong as the men. So it's not dominated by the females, but the women are strong enough. And what happens is, in this particular breed, it's the young females who migrate from one group to another. They're the newcomers. So as soon as the new group of females come to the new tribe, they immediately engage in some mild sexual activity with the older females. They create a bond. What happens at that point is that the females have a bond, and this prevents bullying. If you look at other chimpanzee tribes that are male dominant, you find that there's a lot of bullying of the weaker ones. It doesn't occur in the bonobos, not because the bonobo females are, you know, big bad mamas, but because there's enough cohesiveness. There's enough of a credo that we're all in this together, that we're all part of the same thing, that that behavior does not occur. And the other factor that they've discovered about these bonobos is that food, they call them bonobo power bars. It's a root that's very easy to get. Now, often in chimp societies, they have to work very hard to get their food. They got to dig around these roots. Well, where the bonobos live, food is plentiful. So there is not this competition over food. Consequently, there is enough, and there is no need for them to dominate. Something else that occurs, and this goes back to, Bruce, what you said about Malthus, and that is that even though there is more sexual activity in the bonobos, their birth rate isn't any higher than any other breed of chimp. So somehow there's a natural balance that occurs. What does this mean for us? Well, it quite possibly means that with enough food, and there's all indications that there is more than enough food for everybody on the planet right now, it's a matter of distribution, as we'll find out, with those basics taken care of, we can indeed live a peaceful life where everybody can thrive, thrival of the finest.